dark of the midnight have I oft hid my face, while the storm howls above me and there's no hiding place. Mid the crash of the thunder, precious Lord, hear my cry, keep me safe till the storm passes by. Many times Satan whispered, there is no need to try, for there's no end to sorrow, there's no hope by and by. But I know that God is with me, and tomorrow I'll fly where the storm never darkens the sky. Till the storm passes over, till the thunder sounds no more, till the clouds roll forever from the sky. Hold me fast and let me stand in the hollow of thy hand. Keep me safe till the storm passes by. When the long night has ended and the storms come no more, let me stand in thy presence on that bright, peaceful shore. Mid the land where the tempest never comes, Lord, may I dwell.
Thank you, Mrs. Ayers. One of the most memorable times I had in B ministry with the Buzz Kids was a day when I preached in the teen group and Mrs. Ayers sang before we got started. I got up to preach and I was boo-hooing and crying, and it was a memorable time. I don't know if you remember it, Mrs. Ayers, but it was a blessing. Appreciate the singing. Well, thank God we're in a church tonight where we can see answers to prayer. I was just thinking when Brother Todd was reading off the prayer requests, and thinking of how many things and how great it is to come back on Wednesday night and Sunday morning, Sunday night, and see answer and hear answer to prayers. And just looking around, seeing people that are back, the fams are back, and their son had a healthy, very difficult, complicated surgery. Brother Salvador, we know you're in God's hands. Just a unique answer to prayer, a blessing I got this afternoon. I called Brother Hill, Brother Terry Hill, and as Brother Todd said, he's arriving back from North Dakota. His step-grandmother, or stepdad's mother, passed away. And he was at a funeral. And he asked me last week, he called me about Wednesday or Thursday and said, Brother Donnelly, I'm nervous. I want a chance to speak. And I don't know the right scriptures to use. and I'm just not real comfortable about this thing. He said, I just want a chance to speak and witness to my lost family members. So I prayed with him, and then Sunday came, Monday, and Tuesday was the funeral yesterday. So I called him today. I said, Brother Hill, how did it go? And as Brother Todd already said, the gospel was given out. Brother Hill said four separate times by a Lutheran pastor. Say that again. The gospel, this right here, was given out by a Lutheran pastor four times. And Brother Hill was not bummed out at all. He didn't get to speak. He said, God spoke through that man. Chose a Lutheran pastor. Praise the Lord. And Brother Hill got to lead his brother's neighbor to Christ. And he was excited about that. So praise God. He did get the gospel out. But I thank God for my preacher. Thank him for the privilege to preach. You know, he's got such a busy schedule. And you just have to believe. We see it in the office. He does his best to schedule his time. He knows where he needs to be. And tonight he needed to be at Brother Chadwick's church out in Amarillo. So we miss him. And personally, I'd rather have him up here and be fed. But I'll do my best to fill his shoes tonight the best I can. If you find in your Bible two places, and stand with me. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. And please stand as you find these two. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. And 2 Peter 3:18, two familiar passages. Again, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, and 2 Peter 3, verse 18. I'll begin reading in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. The Bible says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And thank God tonight, I'm a new creature in Christ. Amen. Old things are passed away. Thank the Lord. Now, 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18. A wonderful verse committed to memory. It's almost the motto of my family. It says, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Amen. But grow in grace. You see that in letters. You see it on the front of things. Familiar scripture. It's a theme for the Christian life. But grow in grace. And let me tell you, Christian, we need God's grace to grow. I need God's grace to grow. I wouldn't be here without a great, great, great offering of grace on my life to get here. But that's our scripture tonight. I'm going to try to tie these two together and preach a message entitled Promotions to Promises. Promotions to promises. We're going to see an ascension from promotion up through promises. The promises of God, the reason I'm here tonight, the reason you're hopefully here tonight, since we're not having a promotion, I don't think. Is anybody selling anything to church? We're here because we love God tonight. It's Wednesday night, and you're tired, I'm tired, we're all tired, so let's just not discuss that. But thank God we're here. Here for the preaching. It's salvation. Your life started from zero, your Christian life. You're not like Adam. Adam was created, mature, a grown man, and knew some things. Okay, we at salvation are a new creature. We start with zero, but grow in grace. Now try to link these two together. If we're a new creature in Christ, old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new, then we're starting from zero. And we don't know much. And we're starting from the beginning. Now, your converts are starting from the beginning. Maybe you're here tonight and you're a Christian. You've been saved for 20, 30, 40 years. Praise the Lord. I haven't. I've been saved 10 years. But I started from zero. I knew nothing about salvation other than I was a sinner and needed to trust Christ for salvation. And I did that gladly when the Lord got a hold of my heart. But now think about the second verse. But grow in grace. So we are a new creature. We know nothing but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord. Look with me at John chapter 1. We're going to look at two more scriptures, then pray, and get into promotions to promises. Try to have some fun tonight. You know, we have the Hatfield and McCoy campaign starting soon, and we have our team leaders. They're already way apart from each other, and I don't know if that's going to grow even more. One group may be sitting in the balcony by the end of the campaign. Another group outside, I don't know. But it's going to be fun. Brother Todd spoke about it in teachers' meeting. I'm going to make it fun. And I hope you do the same and invite visitors. But in the first chapter of John, look with me at verse 14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Now Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, is full of the two things we want to consider tonight. Amen. Grace Amen. And knowledge, or truth. Amen. He was full of them. He was grace and truth. Now look down at verse 17. We'll see it again mentioned. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Grace and truth. Promotions to promises. I'm going to try to tie this together, and by the end of this message, determine where you're at, your reason for coming to church. And, as important, our converts over the next 8 weeks when the campaign begins, and thereafter, how are you going to view them growing in grace? A lot of times, Christian, we forget that a new Christian is a new creature, that they are born again, that they're a babe in Christ. And we need to understand that and how we can help them grow in grace. If you desire to grow, guess what? The Lord will give you grace. Hey, the Lord will give you grace. Who can't stand tonight and give testimony about God's grace in your life as you've grown? How many times has He had to pick you up? How many times has He proven again and again that He's long-suffering? Not the second or third time, the 100th time, the 1,000th time. Our God gives us grace to grow, or we could never make it with the world and the devil and our wicked flesh against us. Oh, God gives grace. Let me show you from the Bible. Psalm 84:11, for the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace. There it is. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will He withhold from them that walk uprightly. And can I say you're walking uprightly? If you're here tonight, maybe you're about to fall over of exhaustion, but you walked uprightly to get in here. You're walking right by being in church. A lady called the church this morning, and she hadn't been in church in 8 years. And she was upset with God. Why? Because her prayers weren't getting answered. She didn't think God was fair. And in a nice way, tried to tell her that, ma'am, you're not walking uprightly. Amen. And your prayers won't be answered. But I wasn't quite that direct. I massaged it and kept her happy with me a few minutes. But that's the truth. Amen. She needed to hear it. She wasn't walking uprightly. Amen. But God will give grace if we walk uprightly. Psalm 29:11 says, the Lord will give strength unto His people. Amen. The Lord will give strength, and we desperately, desperately need strength. The Lord will bless His people with peace. Promotions to promises. Promotions to promises. Let's pray. Lord, sure, thank You for the opportunity, God, to preach, and it's a great privilege. There's so many people here, and each one with special needs, and God, You're the need meter. Just help me, Lord, to connect, to preach the Scripture, just as it's written. God, put in my heart now the exact words to say. And God, would You change hearts tonight? Would You get us ready for the campaign? Our preacher has great expectations for this campaign. Lord, he still believes, as I do, that we can reach 2000 in 2007. And it's only going to happen by a lot of work by every person in here tonight. Pray You'd convict hearts, Lord, as only You can. Holy Spirit, get a hold of us and use the message for Your glory. And help us determine tonight, if nothing else, at invitation, we'll kneel and just ask God, You, to help us grow in grace, to bring You glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right, please be seated. See, when I was in secular college, in engineering college for 5 years, and then in master's program for 2 more years, I discovered what growing without grace is about. If you've been in secular college, it's pretty hard, pretty straight line place, where you don't always grow in grace. You grow by the rules. You grow by objective tests. You grow according to the rules of a secular college. And that was without grace. And boy, I like getting into the Christian work where there's more grace, more understanding, more love. But it was tough. That was my example in life of growing without grace. Hey, it could be brutal. It could be brutal. You go to a professor's office, they didn't care how late you stayed up. They just cared about one thing, whether your answer was right or wrong, where the decimal was, how many zeros were behind it. It didn't matter how hard you tried. It didn't matter how much you wanted to pass. Thank God for a little grace in the Christian realm, in the Christian life. But promotions to promises tonight. Let me demonstrate something to you. When a Christian's saved, let's say these are the steps he has to take to grow in the Lord. Well, it's very difficult if the promises of God is our goal, and that's on the top rung here of our steps, for me to get up there. And I'm not going to try it because I'd tear something and fall and stretch something, but I just can't do that, okay? What I have to do is take some baby steps. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word. I've got to drink milk before I get up here to meet. I've got to take some steps. Your converts have to take some steps before they're going to get the promises of God on their life and understand them and want to come to church. See, our problem tonight, our question tonight, and gets a lot of us discouraged, is why is the last time we see most people in the baptistry? And we all wonder that. I do. Oh, and it breaks my heart. What a privilege to baptize. But all you know is those men are getting dressed, and those young boys, it breaks my heart. And I know the odds. I know the numbers game. And God, He can do anything He wants. But just by the numbers, a lot of those people will never come back. It breaks my heart. I try to encourage them. Try to say something. Hey, I can't wait to see you again. And oh, you have a Bible, and I'll try to get them a Bible. Do what I can. But that's our question. Now, why can a new convert not get up here to the top step? And that's the promises of God. So promotions to promises. And again, I think of 2 Peter 2:2, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word. But did you know that every convert doesn't naturally desire the sincere milk of the world? Maybe they desire the sincere milk of the world, but not the Word. Not every convert's going to get on fire and enroll in Bible college the next semester. It's not going to happen. Most of them are so entrenched, so full of the world, living in the world, and they live by their flesh, according to their flesh, and they've got this enemy called the devil who's got it cranked up in America in 2005, that they may never desire the sincere milk of the Word. You may be the only way to foster, to develop that desire in them, and that's our job. We're not just a soul-winning church, we're a Great Commission church. And we've got to go the extra step and realize that it's our job to help them grow in grace. But we better be growing in grace ourselves. And this message tonight, it's not to the bus children, because the bus children are not here, but stop and realize what makes up almost half of this church? Our bus kids. Thank God for every one of them that rides a bus on 102-plus degree days. Thank God for bus children. We've got plenty of testimonies in here tonight of the value of running buses in August in Texas. So don't argue with me about that. I get vehement. I get very vocal about the bus ministry. You watch me when the preacher's preaching or somebody says something about the bus ministry, I'm going to shout. Praise God for the bus ministry, because it produces fruit. And all you bus captains are out there just loving this. Little promo for the bus ministry. But I love it. But this message is about the bus kids. It's not to the bus kids tonight. See, that's almost half of the attendance, the regular attendance of this church. But you know, out of those 450 that came last week, over 500 the week after Bible clubs, how many will come back and take that first step of baptism? Well, in the last 8 weeks, we've had about two or three or four from our bus ministry baptized. Not very many. I've heard our leadership, I've heard men of God say for years, if they don't take that first step of obedience and get baptized, they're not going to have a Christian life that's on course. They'll never get the full blessings of God. I believe with all my heart. I believe God gives us baptism to allow us to show Him that we are serious and we're going to grow. So why is it? This message is for those 450, 500 kids that come, over a third of our membership. But you got to go back to, what are these kids? They're new creatures. They are brand new creatures. Some of them aren't creatures in Christ yet. We bring them in to get them saved. Amen? But the ones that are saved are new creatures. They're babes. Hey, they're a baby out of the womb spiritually, and they need milk. They need mama's milk, or they won't grow. They just won't grow. And I want to consider this question tonight. Why we lose so many converts and first-time visitors? You might think of Christianity as almost a body bag Christianity around here. You know what? We get them one to Christ. We've got well over 1,000 this year that have accepted Christ. And that's wonderful, church. We're supposed to. We're doing the Great Commission. But you know what? We might as well, if we're not willing to work with them, if we're not willing to remember their name, if we're not willing to write their name down on a piece of paper, we might as well just put them in a body bag, a spiritual body bag, because we've forgotten about them. Can't tell you how many times I'll talk to a bus worker or a soul winner a week later and say, hey, what about so-and-so? Huh? What about so-and-so? Have you gone by to see them? Who? You won them to Christ last week. Short memory. Been praying every day for them, haven't you? And hey, that happens. And that's sad testimony of that convert ever getting to the first step and the second step. How are they going to get back and get baptized if you forget their name and neglect to pray for them? Thank God for the bus captain, the bus worker that will pray through a list of precious names of kids. So body bag Christianity, we don't want to go there. And we need to work. But I want you to note the progression here. I'm going to go through three stages, just the progression, how to get from that bottom step up to the top. It's a progression that you and I have gone through. It's a progression you better realize your converts are going to go through to get to a place where they come to church for the promises of God. Why you and here, I tonight, or you and I are here tonight. And we all fit somewhere. This message fits everybody. And I hope you're here for the promises of God tonight. But the first stage is people come for promotions. Thank God for promotions. We just talked about it in teachers' meeting. I thank God for promotions. Now, I used to not be a full convert of promotions. The second year of the bus ministry, I got off some things. I thought, well, you know, they should come because they love Jesus. You go out and run a bus in August and see how many come because they love Jesus. And you can take out a Ford Pinto and fill that baby up because that's all the kids that are going to ride if that's your goal in August. Sorry. Kids like promotions. Kids need to get to that first step. Kids aren't going to come to the top step because they love Jesus so much. Kids are going to make baby steps. Hey, adults are too. Where are adult converts that were baptized last week and the week before? Baby steps. The first stage is people come for promotions. People come for things. Brother Clayton Reed preached, people, every person in here has needs tonight. Every person in here came here tonight, hopefully because you have needs, and you know this altar and the great God above will meet needs. Health needs, financial needs, family needs, spiritual needs, needs going into college and the academy. You've got needs. And we come to church, and especially new converts, new Christians, because we want things. We don't even know people yet. How can we want to be around people? We just want things. We'll get a lot of people in this church because of a promotion. And I think they're great. Hey, bus worker, this Saturday you go out, and hopefully you're dressed right, and you get in front of a bus kid, and you try to woe them onto your bus. If that kid's got half a brain working, they're going to look at you and go, 102 degrees? You're going to pick me up at 12:30, and I'm going to ride that bus till 2:15? No air conditioning? And then you're going to preach and teach and make me sing and wear me out and pledges and offering. You want me to give and do all that? And an hour and 15 minutes later, before I even have a chance to dry off and drink some water, you're going to cram me back on that bus and I'm the last drop off? Good luck. Better have a promotion. Better have Six Flags or hot dogs or something really working. You've got to get people on the first step. You've got to give them something to come. Show them that their need can be met. You know, a child's need is this right here. It's satisfying it. You say, well, I don't like promotions. I think it's a bribe. Maybe you're a new Christian. Well, read in three accounts, the gospel accounts what Jesus said. Jesus said, suffer the little children to come unto me. Well, I think Jesus would be all about feeding kids a little something to come to him. After all, he fed 5,000, right? And several other miracles. He fed. And I think it's fine. I think it's fine. A bribe would be me trying to get the kids to do something wrong. Hey, steal some money from your parents and bring it and put it in the offering plate. That's a bribe, and I'll give you something tomorrow. You bring a dollar, I'll give you an ice cream sandwich. $2 and you get a Snicker. That's a bribe. And that's of the devil. We don't do that. We just say, come, you'll hear about Jesus and enjoy being in church. Again, we're dealing with new creatures, and they have needs. New creatures have needs. A baby has need for what? Milk. That was hard. Good. When I got saved, guess what? Why was I going to church? Well, I had needs. I didn't know people. Well, I didn't know one beautiful young lady, and I was going to church to follow Sherry Marlene Oliver. How about that? Marlene. I was going to church to follow her. I didn't know anything about relationships. I didn't know anything about the Lord. Hey, I was going to church because they had a men's prayer breakfast. Amen. And that was good. Think all you want about how healthy I ate, but I ate everything there at those men's prayer breakfasts. And enjoyed it. Got greased. But you know what? I was going to meet some needs. I didn't know the first thing. But I was even going to church before I was saved a few weeks. And then I got saved. Praise the Lord. May 23rd, I accepted the Lord. And my life changed. I became a new creature in Christ. Was born again instantly. And things started to change. But not instantly. I still couldn't make that step to the top step. I still had to be forced and pushed to church. And Cliff, you need to be there 3 times a week. Had a period after we got married where we were in weak churches. And it was a convenience thing. We'd go when we want to. And we'd get a little busy with college. And we'd stay home Sunday night. And Wednesday night, that was right in the middle of our week. I don't want God getting in the way of my week. Maybe on Sunday morning. But you know what? I went because I had some needs. Simple needs. And I was curious. And you know what? When I got saved, think back when you got saved. Hopefully you know the date. Hopefully you know the time, everything about it. Think back when you got saved. Did you know everything about sanctification? Did you know everything about glorification? Did you know everything about justification? Did you know everything about predestination? You didn't know the first thing. You probably couldn't pronounce them like me. Oh, but you knew all about the propitiation of sins of Christ. You knew all about the vicarious death. All that. You knew it. I didn't. I didn't know the first thing. I knew I was a sinner. And I had a need that was met on Calvary some 2,000 years ago. That's all I knew. I didn't know all these things. Baptism spooked me. I thought, well, this is something we do in Baptist churches to differentiate ourselves from the Catholics or the Methodists. It's kind of funny when you think about baptism. We're in church clothes. Why do we have to go underwater? Someone tell me that. And I thought about these things. I was 24. I was a thinker. I wanted to know. The Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, that sounds spooky. It did. You thought the same thing. You thought the same thing. Eternal security? Well, I thought that was the best bank deposit you could make. It's eternal. It's a security in the bank. It's going to last forever. I didn't know these things. I couldn't even get on the first step. I was taking little steps. All right. Your converts are the same, maybe less. Ask your kids those questions on the bus this week and see what they say. You know, Paul had to start kind of slow with the Corinthians. He didn't start out up here with meat. He started down here with milk. Here's what he said in 1 Corinthians 3:1. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. Paul had to get down here on their level and get down. I believe Paul had to get down so low, he was looking at a level right down here with those Corinthians. He had to go back over standards and basic doctrines and Christ and Moses and the law and salvation by grace. Hey, he had to start down here where the converts were at. And that's where he started. What about Country Fair Day? What about Friend Day around here? Those are great days. Hey, Friend Day, 2,500, I think, close to that. Next week, back down to 1,200, 1,300. Well, that's discouraging, isn't it? That can be very discouraging. Hey, these people need help. They need to grow in grace. They need to be told of the same grace that you grew in to get where you're at. Well, instead of being proud and knowing that we look right and this kind of thing, get down and help them. Get up that first step so they can grow in grace and experience God. So they can go from promotions to God's promises. And God's promises, by the way, will keep you coming to church. Hey, nothing has to talk me into coming to church. I'm relying on God's promises. All 100%. And that's why I'm here. But you know what? We can't spend $52 a family per week on having a Country Fair Sunday. You know what? We'd have 2,500 every week. And as they spread the word, we'd have 2,700. And boy, that barbecue was good. And they're going to invite their neighbors. We'd have 3,000. And you know what? Pretty soon, we'd have to buy, like Joel Osteen, the Astrodome. We'd buy the old Cowboys Stadium. They're not going to need it, right? But we just need about a couple hundred thousand a week to feed them. But you know what? They would come. We can't do that economically. We have to put missionaries on the field and do other things with our funds. But you know what? That would never get them off that first step. It'd never get them up on that second step. It'd sure taste good. You know how long that would last? A good barbecue meal? 3 or 4 or 5 hours. Then what's there to eat? Every single one of them. Okay? That cannot be done. It would be nice to do it. I wish we could. The second stage is people come for people. So, oh, Brother Donnelly. No, they don't. They should come for Jesus. That second step should be Jesus. Well, sure, it should in a perfect world. With perfect knowledge, but we're not Adam before sin. We're working with a body of flesh, a carnal mind, with the devil's deception and lies, and it ain't easy. It is not easy. You're working with these people trying to get them to the second step. If you can get them to love you, praise the Lord. Hopefully you've got enough Christ in you, enough light shining, that they can see a difference. They're going to follow you before they ever follow Christ. Now, they may say, oh, I love Jesus, and bus kids, I love Jesus, and next minute they're cussing and kicking and being kicked out of church. But really, are they trusting the promises of God yet? No, they're not there yet. People come to church for people. That's the second stage. You know what? A man took me under his wing named Brother Ron Papa. Now, he preaches in the Rock of Ages prison ministry. Old rough character, former New York Mafia guy. He took me under his wing the week after I got saved. Said, why don't you come over Tuesday night? Okay. So I came straight from the gym, had my gym clothes on, which wasn't a whole lot. And I went over, and he cooked me dinner. Tuesday night, and I was working in a chemical plant, had a lot of other priorities. Now, why is he doing this? Well, he knew if I fell in love, if I got to know him, trust him, be his friend, guess what? He knew the next stage, I was going to fall in love with his Savior. Now, I was saved, but I wasn't getting up that first step very quick. So he discipled me every Tuesday night, spent an hour or two with me. First lesson was eternal security, and then baptism, and then local new church, local, you know what I'm talking about? Local New Testament Baptist Church. And we went through these doctrines for a couple of months. And you know what? I got to thinking, there is something different about this man. There is something different about it. He didn't get on to me for my standards and my lack of proper dress and for being late and for blowing him off some weeks. He helped me grow in grace. He helped me use that thing that God extends to us to grow in His Word and impart His knowledge on us. He showed me some grace. Listen, it's a good sign if people will come for people. It's a good sign if people will come for the preacher. It's a great sign. I don't know a man closer to God on this earth than my pastor, Dr. Bob Smith. Hey, if they come for him, great. Praise the Lord. You know, people can meet needs longer than food or than a promotion. Your bus kids, if they keep coming and they get into high school, they're going to have greater needs. They're going to have spiritual needs that pizza will not fulfill. They're going to need to talk to someone. They're going to need a Brother Tom Davis, a Brother Quinn Fugate, to put their arm around them and say, hey, can I help you? Can I spend some time with you? I want to take you to this conference. I want to be your friend. See, they're going to have more needs. And people can meet those needs. Now, here's some scripture on how people can meet needs. Matthew 5:16. But let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Now, is your light shining? You're going to help them get to that second step and discover some great things about Christianity if your light is shining. If they see a difference in you. If your testimony has a little light in it. What about Proverbs 18:24? A man that hath friends must show himself friendly. And there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Well, they're not going to know and understand that friend that sticketh closer than a brother immediately. And I believe that's Christ. They're going to understand your friendship. And they're going to understand your smile and your handshake. And that's going to lure them to church. And that's a good thing. That's why we're Christ-like Christians. To be that kind of testimony. 1 John 4:7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. Well, we love others because He first loved us. And we don't have a perfect love. But we need to show that love to one another. We need to give time to others and show that love. About Acts 20:35, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Now, your crowd that can't get off the first step is coming for promotion. It is more blessed to receive than to give. How much did they put in the offering plate? Our combined bus offering is what? $20, $30? Thank God they're giving. And that's the way they grow, by starting. But what I'm trying to say, that first rung, they're coming to get. You've got to give. And they'll see and catch on that it's more blessed to give than to receive. We want our bus kids the second week. We want our converts the second week to come. We want our bus kids to quit wearing shorts. We want them to have a King James Bible. We want them to have standards. We want them to have 3 visitors. We want them to have mom and dad in church. We want them to be right on the bus. We want them to sit still. Yes, we do. I did. I wanted all that and more. I wanted perfect kids on my bus. But we have these expectations. Well, I do it. You know, why can't you wear your nicest clothes? Grow in grace and in the knowledge. Grow in grace and in the knowledge. You know, bus kids, it really takes what I've seen a year or two before they get anything. Now, there's a few special kids out there that will get salvation, will get eternal security, will get baptized, will get in church and do right. Praise God for them. But most bus kids, you're going to see them come a year or two before anything really starts to happen in their life, before they get it, before that little light goes off. And what are you doing in the meantime? Are you allowing them to grow in grace? Are you beating them down saying, boy, this kid keeps wearing shorts. I'm not going to let him come anymore. Why don't you go meet mom and dad, see if he has money to buy short or buy pants? Why don't you work with him a little bit? Show him some grace. Maybe all he hears is cussing and you're terrible, you're a failure. Why don't you get to know the kid and spend some time with him? But they're going to see you first before they ever fall in love with Christ. Are you the right example? Are they going to fall in love with your walk with Christ? Are they going to see bus captain, bus worker, Sunday school teacher, usher, Christian? Hopefully the people on your job know you're a Christian. Are they going to notice something in you? Are they going to see something that says, yeah, I want to take this next step? It's not so intimidating when you walk the walk, and then they might even take two steps at one time instead of one, because you're that kind of an encouragement and witness and testimony to them. We love Him because He first loved us. Again, that love we need to be showing our converts every chance we get. Well, why not stop here? Well, I'll tell you why not. My son is 3 years old, Luke. I don't want to say too much. I'll arouse him, and you all know who he is in just a moment. He's almost four. He's not saved yet. We're praying it'll be soon. He's a bright kid. I think he'll understand salvation at a young age and come to the Savior. You know who Luke's in love with? That lady right there, Ginger Barton. He's in love with Ginger. He bought her a red rose 2 weeks ago, back to school week, amen? He's in love with Ginger Barton. During the week, we'll just, at dinner, randomly, all of a sudden, he'll say, "I love Miss Ginger." And we don't know where it comes from. He just pulls things out of the clouds, and he's three, God bless him. He doesn't say, "I love Jesus and the Bible and the doctrines thereof." He doesn't say that, people. He is not even a newborn babe in Christ yet. He's fallen in love with a person that's got a testimony. And I thank God for Miss Barden, for her testimony, for her dress, for her diligence, for being on time, all these things. Because my son is learning Jesus through her life. And I praise God for that. And that's how he's going to learn Christ. Because that's an open Bible before him every week. And I praise God for her and the Sunday school teachers like her that are diligent in the work. They're leading people to Christ whether they know it or not. Just like our nursery workers for soul winning, they're leading people to Christ. They just don't know it. Just like Brother Barlett, while we're on that subject. He's the greatest soul winner this church, I think, has. Almost. He is my hero, because he's leading people to Christ every week. Why stop here? Well, man will fail you. Man will fail you. If you put all your faith and trust in man, and you stop there, man will fail you. First of all, man can't save you. Jesus said, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life." If any man says that, he's a liar. The truth is not in him. First of all, you've got to get past man because man will fail you. Hey, we're compared to sheep, we're compared to babes, we're compared to worms, all these things in the Bible. Romans 10:4, "For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth." Christ is where you want to get him. Hey, get people to Calvary. And you've done what you need to do. Get them to Calvary. That should be your goal for your bus or your Sunday school. Get them to Calvary. Now here we go. You know the third stage. This is up here. This is get people to church for the promises of God. Get people to church, get them to come for the promises. That's why I'm here tonight. That's why I'm here tonight. Revelation 4:11, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created." I've come to the place, Christian, where I realize that I was created not for Cliff Donnelly, not to become a humanist and indulge, but for the Lord Jesus, for His pleasure and for His glory. And I want to live that kind of life. Am I perfect? Absolutely not. But when you realize your purpose, you're going to get attached to God's promises. And you're not going to come to church when you're dead tired Wednesday night for any other reason than the promises of God, that book you hold in your hands right now. You're going to start to learn and live by it. And it won't matter what man does to you. It won't matter who talks rumors about you and gossips about you. It won't matter what kind of financial hardship you're going through. It won't matter what kind of thing you've gone through on your job. It won't matter what's happening in your marriage at that time. It won't matter if your child's disobeying. You'll come because of the promises of God. That's up here, Christian. That's where we need to get our converts. That's in the next 8 weeks when the campaign starts, where we want to work towards. It's not going to happen overnight. But that's where we need to be. What are some of the promises of God? Well, time won't permit. Your Bible. You go read your Bible. It is full of the promises of God. I think of eternal life. Titus 1:2, "And hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised." Promised before the world began. He promised it before the world began that you would have eternal life. Answered prayer, Jeremiah 33:3, "Call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not." Praise the Lord. Take your needs to God and He'll show you great and mighty things which thou knowest not. I thank God for the promise of victory over Satan tonight. Personal friend of mine, I know him well. I thank God. The Bible says, "Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you." I thank God for that promise. You've probably claimed it too. You better cling to God and the things of God and watch that devil flee. What about the miracles of God? We've got miracles in here tonight. A miracle in Brother Jeff Lim, and I love praying with him because, boy, it fills my heart with a miracle that was performed on his body by surgeons, but by the Lord. I think of Jeremiah 32:27, "Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh." Is there anything too hard for me? Let me answer that. Absolutely not. With God, nothing shall be impossible. I like those promises. They keep me going. If I was dependent on a person, that person may let me down. And they will let you down if you follow a person. Teenagers, get your eyes on the Lord Jesus. The Bible says in Hebrews 12:2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith. That's where we need our eyes tonight. What about sowing and reaping? Well, preacher's message. Preacher's message, be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. I love that promise. If I go out and sow and I get busy in this campaign and work hard and nobody comes, does that negate the law of sowing and reaping? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. God will bring somebody to my Sunday school class 2 months later because I went out and tried to put some seed out. Did I get discouraged? You bet. I'm in the flesh? You bet. But God has a promise of sowing and reaping. What about giving? Give and it shall be given unto you. Hey, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Try something fun? Go try to outgive God. You'll have a good time. He'll bless you over and above. And can I say this? The people that come for the promises of God, they come regardless of their circumstances. You're here tonight regardless of your circumstances. You're here because you believe in the promises of God. Now, this is high-level Christianity. Now, we've got to get back to promotions to promises, and try to get these people where they need to be. Now, you say, oh, it can't happen in a bus kid's life. Well, let me tell you a little story. Wrong. Last 3 or 4 Sundays, I picked up the Pollock kids, not Zach and his family, but the Pollock kids, Edward Pollock, Taylor, Skyla, Tad, and Jared. And Edward's the oldest. He's approaching 7th grade age. Blessing these little kids. Bad home life. But boy, they love God. And here's where they're at in their level. You know, they're not on that first step. They're not on that second step. They're on that third step. Here's how I know. When I picked them up Sunday morning at 9:20, they were dressed. He was in a suit and tie. They were on time, ready. There's some signs right there. Something's going on. Good. And their parents weren't awake, by the way. Had their lunch packed and everything. They got in my minivan. Before we got down to the end of the street, Edward quoted Romans 12:2 or 12:1 perfectly. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, present yourselves a living sacrifice. Perfect! 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 Oh, then it proceeded. Taylor quoted 1 Kings 1:11. Perfect! And I didn't even ask for this. They just boom, boom, one after the other. Then the little kids started quoting verses. Romans 3:23, perfect! And I was inundated. I couldn't believe it. And I said, praise the Lord. I almost couldn't speak. I almost couldn't speak. Are those kids coming for the promotions? No, they didn't say, Brother Donnelly, what are we having today? The number one question that's asked on a Saturday by any bus kids, what are we having? I had bus kids that come for 4 years. What are we having? And it gets discouraging. It's because you think how much money you spent on that 4-year bus rider. You spent a lot of money. A lot of money. But thank God, some kids get it if we work with them. These Pollock kids, they weren't coming for people. They didn't know I was going to pick them up. They thought Brother Isaac Ingram was going to pick them up. I showed up. They didn't come for Brother Donnelly. Hey, they come because they love Jesus. That's the only thing they came for. And these kids have a great need, and they found that not promotions, not people, but they can trust some of the promises of God and find out that God is real at that young age. So it doesn't matter how old you are. Sometimes Christians that have been saved 30, 40 years, guess what? They're the ones that get bitter. Well, they hear a standard that just doesn't line up with them, and they're gone. We see it here. You see it. Where's so-and-so? Well, don't ask. Just look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Quit worrying about others. Worry about yourself and your walk. Doesn't matter what happened. It matters you and your walk and who you're attracting to Christ. Your level of Christianity can be measured in what it takes to make you quit coming. Now that's profound. Think about that. That's not original. I heard that. Your level of Christianity can be measured in what it takes for you to quit that bus route or that Sunday school or to quit your daily devotion, quit coming to church regularly. Your level of Christianity, what's it going to take? Now I understand being providentially hindered. If you're in the hospital, Janine Jones could not be here tonight. She'd be here tonight. She's that level of Christian. But if you can be here, what would it take to stop you from coming? Now, very quickly, promotions to promises. Here's some things we can do. I'm going to run through these really quickly and be finished. What can we do to keep converts and first-time visitors coming? That's why we're here tonight. That's what I want to get across to you. And I believe God, before this promotion begin or this campaign begins, wants preached. First of all, understand what stage of growth they're in. Look at your convert. Maybe it's somebody that's been in church all their life. They didn't realize they were lost. They got saved. They already know a lot. Most people aren't like that. Most people are a new creature, newborn babe, know nothing. You need to understand where they're at. Secondly, you need to make sure you're growing in Christ. Does anything convict your heart when you read 2 Peter 3:18? Does it kind of get a hold of you? Growing in grace? Are you growing? Are you even reading your Bible? Are you even praying? You winning souls? Boy, you'll criticize us. You'll criticize the guys that bring in busloads on the vans during this campaign. How many have you had down the aisle? Yeah, not as many. Probably zero if you're going to criticize someone that's working hard and getting people down the aisle. Make sure you're growing in Christ. Don't become dead. You know, dead Christians, they stink. No, not this stink. I just don't want to be around them. One of the most memorable messages ever preached was by Jack Hiles, Dr. Jack Hiles. The second to the last year, or maybe it was the last year he came to Trinity Baptist, I can remember him so vividly preaching, "You're growing or you're dying. You're growing or you're dying." Get that tape if you can. You're growing or you're dying. There's no standing still. There's no tree, no plant on earth that's not either growing or dying. It can't. And as a Christian, you're either growing or you're dying. Make sure you're growing. Don't be a hypocrite. This world's full of hypocrites. They do the greatest injustice to bringing people to Christ of anything in the world, I believe, is a hypocrite. Is a sour fundamental Baptist that's quit coming. Oh, God, help them. James 1:22, but be doers of the word and not hearers only. Thirdly, develop a plan and how to reach them. You know, frequent visits work good for kids. And I can't tell you, if you quit going to a bus kid's house every Saturday, he's probably going to quit coming. He's not on that third or fourth step yet. Now, Edward Pollock, pick up the phone. Brother Isaac, where are you? They're not all that way. And your converts aren't going to be that way either. I'm yet to have a young married couple call me and say, "Brother Donnelly, where are you? We're coming." Now, some do call and say they're coming, and I appreciate that. But you know what I'm trying to, the point I'm trying to make. You got to go after them. You got to get them here. It doesn't happen naturally in most cases. Thank God for finding Christians that are saved and want to do right and get in church. Boy, they're the fun ones. They're the ones that just bring joy to your heart. Come on in. I've been praying for you. Thank the Lord. Understand what stage they're in. Make sure you're growing. Develop a plan to reach them. Hey, guess what? Young marrieds, I'm finding out they like emails. I fire off an email and I get emails right back. And I like getting emails. I'm just of that generation. Brother Clayton's over there smiling. He's an email king. Fire him an email back, an email, and he'll send you three within minutes. He'll do it on a Palm Pilot or whatever gadget he's got. But you know what? Emails are quick communication in a quick, fast world. Hey, use them. Preacher told us the other day in staff meeting, gas is, what, $2.70 a gallon? Use a letter. Use a phone call. Use another method. But you got to understand how to get them up those steps, how to encourage them. Hey, how many of these have you passed out? I'm guilty for not hardly ever passing these out. You know, this will reach somebody, a new believer. Suggestions to new Christians. Maybe they don't want to listen to you. Maybe they don't have time. Hey, Thursday night, for visiting young married couples, it's hard to get in their house. They're just getting home from work. They're like, "What are you doing here?" They don't say it, but they want to say, "Leave." Just drop them this. Say, "I was thinking about you." And take this with you and read it. Okay, bye. You know what? You know what sometimes will reach a kid? Kids have trouble understanding the term wages and some things. Give them a Chick Track. It's a good one. Best friend. I've given this to young girls and boys on the bus route. Let them read it. Find out where they're at and learn how to reach them. You know what? Bus captains, learn what promotion works. On the yellow route here in Arlington, for some reason, I never could understand, but pickles did not work, Brother Robert. Pickles were one of our worst campaigns. And bus kids love pickles. You get a big bucket from Sam's, and these things, you have to hold them with two hands. And kids love them, but our route didn't like pickles. So, as a not very wise bus captain, I struggled for a few years, and finally I quit our pickle promotions. But you know, there's some routes, they eat those things up, and they'll have 20, 30 more kids for a pickle. An old sour, soaked in vinegar pickle. I don't care for, but praise God, promotions work. You got to work with that kid where he's at. Finally, exercise some grace. And we're about to finish. Exercise some grace. Back to our scripture, but grow in grace. The same grace that God has provided you, you're to show others. You're to introduce them to that grace. You're to let them know they can grow in it too. They can have what you have. Well, people look at us and they think we're so different. We got all this and that. And God does bless us. Turn around and look at each other. We are doing all right tonight. Amen. Do you know what? You've got to exercise a little grace. Well, we're good at giving out truth and doctrine, but we've got to exercise some love and some understanding and some patience. You know, it's a sad day when a couple comes into my Sunday school class and they see this tie and this suit and they don't want to come back because they think that's Christianity. That's a sad day, and it happens. And it breaks my heart. This isn't Christianity. No, I do this because I want to look good for God and His house. That's not Christianity, and that's what these people see, because we have to get them up to that first step. We've got to get them up to that second step. They're coming because they've got a need. We've had some young married couples that come. The guys are covered in tattoos and earrings and things pointing out here and there. And they come one time, and it breaks my heart, because I love these people. I'll go by their house every week, send them notes, work with them, send others by, try to get their kids on the bus, and they'll never come back because they are so new in Christ, if they're even saved. And what are we doing to work with them? That's where the challenge is at. That's where we live. We don't live in a panacea where everyone wants to come to a fundamental independent Baptist church. Hey, what we're doing here is right, and we got to get them on board. That's our task. Ephesians 4:32, and be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. This message tonight, think about what God's done for you. Amen. Think about the grace He's extended to you over and over and over again. And I hope you're coming tonight because of the promises of God. That's preacher's philosophy, by the way. If you spend some time with preacher, he's just going to direct you to God. He's just a conduit. Amen. You got a big decision, he's going to allow the Holy Spirit to make it for you. It's almost frustrating. Sometimes I want a quick answer. Dr. Smith just backs off. Well, you need to pray, you need to do this, stay in church, da, 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 da. And he's right. He's got this down. Christ wants to meet with you more than any person. Christ wants to meet with you. Hey, he purchased this church with his own blood. He says, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Revelation 3:20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him, I will sup with him, and he with me. Now that's a promise. And that's Jesus. That's him knocking at our door tonight. Hey, he's waiting for these altars and these aisles to be filled with people with needs. If nothing else, come forward, Christian, and just say, I want to grow in grace. I pray that prayer every day in family devotion at night, in the morning. I've got it on my prayer sheet. I want to grow in grace. I don't want to be a dead Christian. I don't want my family to see death in my life. I want them to see growth. Am I perfect? No, I make a lot of mistakes. But I'm affecting people now. I'm in a leadership position. You're in a leadership position. And Christians are watching you. And the lost are watching you. And you need to do everything you can to affect them for Christ. Remember, we're a Great Commission church. If it was just soul winning, then we wouldn't have to worry about this too much. The Christian life, and I'll end with this, a lot of new converts believe the Christian life is a one-step process. I believe it's two. You get saved. Glory to God. You get saved. That is the beginning. You have just become a new creature in Christ. Now you have the rest of your life to live. That is called growth and a relationship with Jesus. And that's the hard part. Somebody that's down on their luck, they'll get saved. Boy, they'll trust in Christ because they have nowhere else to turn. But then it's those steps. It's from promotions, getting them to church, getting them here for barbecue, getting them here for whatever we're doing. It's getting them to that country fair. Hey, maybe they fall in love with you, they trust you, they like you, bringing them to church, calling, being their friend, and that one glorious day when they come down to this altar crying, say, I'm trusting God for everything, and boy, they make that great shift and get up to that top step. I did it at Pot of Gold Youth Ranch in year 2000. Boy, I went forward one time, wasn't even there as a youth, but I went forward, and I made a decision that I was going to trust God for His strength, and that's the only decision I make, and that was a great turning point in my life when I decided I was going to trust God and grow in grace and rely on Him. Think about a convert tonight or a family member or yourself. Where are you at in growing in grace? The more you grow, the more you're going to affect the world around you for Christ. The more Bible you put in yourself, the more light you're going to shine. The more you pray for others, the more you're going to see answered prayer. I believe in reaping and sowing applies to your prayer life. You sow a lot of prayer, you got it. You're going to reap a lot of prayer. The Hatfield and McCoys is coming up. Get excited about it. You know what? Get excited about it. People are going to be saved in glory one day. We're going to find out it was a great idea. We're going to find out that who cares if Brother Graff tears up Brother Garner and the Hatfields. Now, I'm on the Hatfield, so I hope Brother Garner wins and smears Brother Graff. And I'm going to be rooting for Brother Garner and helping him. But you know what? Glory to God if one soul gets saved from the whole thing. If we baptize 40, if we baptize 100, and not one comes, still glory to God. But we need to do our best to try to get them in church so they can fill these empty pews and be productive Christians. That's why we exist. If nothing else tonight, I beg you just to come to the altar. I am going to kneel my body and just pray, God, help me never to stop growing in grace. I'm a new creature, and oh, I need to grow. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you tonight for the preaching. We thank you for Scripture so plain and clear.